This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
No mai, haere mai, ko Hannah toku ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Today I'm pretty stoked, and I know pretty much every week I say that I'm pretty stoked, and I genuinely am. But today I've got a new guest on the show, and no shade to all my returning guests, because I love to see you. But it's always nice to, and exciting to have a fresh meat, and I've got a comedian here. Yes, I found someone slightly funnier than me to join me for today's episode. Comedian Sandra Pace is here in the studio ahead of your upcoming show, You're Not Pretty But I Love You, which is coming to a Navara Lounge near you. Kia ora, mate. Welcome to That's The Ticket.
Kia ora, Hannah. Kia ora, whanau.
Yeah. Also, I couldn't think of a smart way to weave it into my intro, but literally just before we went on air today, we discovered that we are both identical twins.
Not to each other.
No.
Different.
Well, no.
Ruins the premise of identical.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't happen very often, and so we were kind of just tripping out about that.
I'm absolutely fangirling over the fact that we have got doppelgangers genetically attached to ourselves.
Yeah, it's good. None of our twins are present, so we're just going to, you know, deal with that. Mine might be listening. I'm not
sure. We both agreed we're the better twin, though, haven't we?
I'm not going to confirm that because my sister is stronger than me.
Mine is far, far away, and I'm stronger than her, so I'm going to, like, lean in strongly to that viewpoint.
Okay. Dr. Mooney, if you're listening, I'm not on the same vibe.
She can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah. No, this is a bit. But, crikey, this is what happens when you get comedians on the show, eh? It immediately just goes,
I know. The clue is in the title.
Yeah. And actually, this is a good kind of segue back to your show. And I know you're not meant to judge a book by its cover, but strong title. Strong title there, You're Not Pretty But I Love You.
Yeah, so the whole show is, I basically talk about families, relationships, and growing up in like two cultures. My family's very Portuguese, we grew up in London, and at the cracks, the middle bit, the magma of that whole scenario is this strange creature I call my mother.
Right.
And she forms much of the material for my show.
Okay, so this one's for the mums.
This is for the mums. Happy Mother's Day. She's also the woman who came up with the title for my show at the age of 11. That's exactly what she told me.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's harsh.
Okay. Just want to take a moment to shout out to my mum, who's probably listening right now. Kia ora, mum. She has never said anything like that to me, but I mean, it's not a competition.
No, I think it's always said with the lens of keeping you strong, grounded.
Yeah.
And you know, coming from a background, my mum grew up quite poor, so it's about that kind of like keep the real talk, we call it.
Yeah, well, it is real talk because it's like, okay, negative thing, but still love you.
Yeah. Also, slightly concerned that she said it because genetically she's responsible for my looks, so I'm just going to smack it right back in her direction and go, well, that's what happens when you settle, mum. So,
ooh, crikey. Okay, I mean, here's the thing, though, is you need to remember that you're on radio right now, so
yes.
I'm the only person who can see you.
Yes.
So
you can tell that's a very, it's not true, that comment.
No, this is, I can't believe it. But,
there are men outside lining up.
There's a queue. Okay, and so your mum inspired the show, in a sense. Is she aware of how she's inspired it?
I like to embarrass her as much as possible by giving her a play-by-play of every single joke I'm going to say about her.
Great.
She's been very accommodating. Her response to most of the most embarrassing jokes has been, as long as you're making money for once, which is great.
Oh,
okay,
man.
I'll take it.
We love it. Okay. So it's you opening at Navara Lounge. Yeah. When is it? I've got it written down. 12th of July.
It is this Saturday.
Yeah, 8 p.m. kickoff.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And for all you parents who want to hold on to the school holidays for as long as possible, use that as your get out of jail card. You've got the last weekend before kids go back to school.
Legit.
Come and just, like, leave them with the dog or a babysitter, you know, something legal, and come and have a good night out where you can kind of, like, just have a beverage. Of your choosing, and have an hour of my wonderful jokes and company.
Yeah, I consider this a preview, team. And so, I mean, you've just talked about school holidays. I'm going to take a wild guess and say that it is not appropriate for children, the show?
No, because it's in a bar.
Oh, that'll
so
do it.
So for all you parents, there's going to be no children there as well. So hang on to that with all your dear life and hearts.
Oh, man. Okay, and is this your first show? This isn't your first show in Hamilton, because I saw you relatively recently at Patrons, that women's comedy special that friend of the show Jackie Taimana, Kia ora Jackie, did.
And we had to pick you up off the floor, Hannah. You found it that funny.
I mean, you were pretty funny.
Like, who are these people?
We caught up after, I think it was, you were like near my table and I was like, have I met you? And you're like, you're going to have me on That's the Ticket.
This is the problem I have, is that, like, whenever I the world of Facebook that we live in now, I have quite an issue, and it's a problem. I should probably get medicated for it, but I'm a profusely bad Facebook stalker.
Okay.
So my amenability and my kind of knowledge of how well I know someone is very frayed when I meet them, because I obviously haven't. But in my mind, I'm absolutely confident I have a 3-year relationship with them.
Great.
When actually I've just been stalking them for quite some time and gone through all their pictures and know about everything that they've done. So
okay, now I feel slightly afraid.
Don't be afraid. Do it with everyone. Everyone gets the same treatment.
I mean, it's nice that everyone gets the same treatment, but it was quite funny because I'm like, have we met? And then we hadn't met, and then you went and did your set, and then afterwards I'm like, I'm kind of relieved that you're funny.
Because that would be awkward.
Oh, no, if I saw you and then knew that you're coming on That's the Ticket, I'm like, oh, gosh, we've got to talk.
I know. You would have started the show with, like, not I'm stoked. You'd be like, well, today's today.
Yeah, today I'm doing someone a favour. But so have you done any other shows in Hamilton?
Yes, so I've done Navara. There was a club that was open called Comedy Club on Victoria Street.
Yep.
And I used to do a lot of my open mic gigs there.
Mm.
This is my first written show that I've written by myself solo.
Okay.
So I was in a duo for New Zealand Comedy Fest last 2024.
Great.
And that was awesome. We had a sold out season.
Nice, well done.
We did a show called Yena Pavlova. Which is
I heard about this show.
Yeah, so kind of like weighing up the pros and cons of Kiwi and Aussie men, relationships, lifestyles, and answering the age-old question, who actually invented the pavlova? New Zealand.
Okay, I was going to say, careful.
Yeah, not so great. I took it to Melbourne this year. Wasn't received as positively as in New Zealand.
I wonder why. You don't change it depending on where you are?
I took Ubers back to my hotel room, which was a 5-minute walk away. That's how threatened I felt.
Oh, crikey, okay.
Yeah, Melbourne's, they like to eat. They're not very good with sense of humour. So, you know, what can I say?
I mean, it's nice of you to say that when you're safely
here in
Hamilton.
This is my, like, there's a safe word here. It's called Hamilton and we're home. It's good.
Yeah.
So I did that show and we did New Zealand Comedy Fest, Melbourne Comedy Fest, and then this is my first fledgling tour of, it's really close to my heart because everything I've written here is stuff that's actually happened, and it's about my family growing up. If you think about my big frat group wedding, so this show, basically my life, if you watch my big frat group wedding, it's kind of like a documentary of my life rather than a comedy film, like, a lot of what happens in that movie is like, oh, so what happened with, like, Auntie Lena the other year? It's like, it's very similar.
Okay.
So, yeah, a big family, very loud personalities, lots of interventions.
Is there a wedding at the end of your show asking for a mate?
No, but, like, I do go into detail about, like, Portuguese families. If anyone's vegetarian, it's a real cause for concern. And that's when, like, things get real, like, I won't go into it too much. A lot of it I talk about my show, but, like, there's lots of espionage that happens with, like, family members trying to, like, kind of, like, feed in meat into your meals without telling you.
What?
And there's a lot of kind of paranoia. I think they think that if you go vegetarian, suddenly like the Portuguese culture is going to just spin out of control.
Yeah. Are you vegetarian?
No, I was for 3 years. And this is it, you know, like, you know, if they just leave teenagers to be, to make their choices and make the mistakes. Because in the end, I got, you know, I was in a student bar, boys and girls, and having beverages with a little bit more in them than what you should. And I got a little bit inebriated and found KFC. And that, well, did the job, really.
Did the job.
Yeah, and then I didn't go back from there.
I mean, my twin sister, Kilda Missy, is vegetarian. That's Kilda one of Missy. Our key differences.
Yeah, vegetarian, like proper vegetarian vegetarian?
No, she's a proper vegetarian. Yeah, it's been over a decade.
So she doesn't eat anything that screams? Because I was a pescatarian, and that's the way I got away with it. I was like, I eat fish, but you can't hear them screaming.
No, she doesn't eat fish. She doesn't eat...
good on her.
Gelatine, so like she hasn't had a pineapple lump.
She's a purist.
I love
you, Missy. Well done, hun.
I mean, I love Missy too. So yeah. that's good. It's good that we're agreed on that.
I just like that she's very honest, like, and she's kind of like, you know, she stands her ground on what her beliefs are.
Yeah.
I was one of those people who ate fish because I was just terrible at regulating my protein and other vitamin levels, so I needed something. But yeah.
I mean, I have quite a good deal because I say like I'm. She says she's vegetarian with vegan tendencies, whereas I say I'm vegetarian at home and then vegan, meat eater out because, like, we live together. And so I make a choice. I'm like, I can either cook myself a sad sausage or I can eat this lovingly prepared vegetarian kai.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I have a great existence. But we have gone very off topic very quickly.
And that's how it happens. That's what happens.
Do you find... I mean, I guess it's different when you're doing your own show that you've written. But, like, do you do, like, crowd work or anything like that?
Yeah, so
The pull to go off topic if you've got someone who, you know, you can work with in the audience, you know?
The danger with your own show is that if you haven't got the engagement of your crowd, God forbid they don't have crazy parents like me, you know, if they're actually kind of like rational, well-turned-out human beings, you're going to have a problem in my show because there's nothing for you to hang on to.
Yeah.
It's those moments. You've got to have that kind of ability to kind of read the room and go, right, might need to kind of pull them in. There's lots of bits in my show where it lends itself out to... like say, hey, give us a yell if you've got a mum, you know, that kind of really plain, generally going to get a response to those kind of
people are yelling in their cars right now while they're listening to That's the Ticket because they felt part of this chat.
Yeah, just remember to indicate.
yeah. And if you want to go to Event Finder and buy tickets or find out more about You're Not Pretty But I Love You, please pull over first.
Yeah
Turn that vehicle off, then go on your internet connected device.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, just because I'm an amazing human being, and also because my whānau has had a little bit of just post-trauma, a little bit of bad luck with like health and stuff like that. So my granddad very sadly passed away, but I'm going to focus on the positives. He had some excellent help. Medical help at Middlemore Hospital. So if you work at Waikato Hospital or in any kind of medical field, I actually have a promo code out for you guys to have a free ticket to the show. If you want to bring your partner, they will have to pay because they're not as awesome as you. So just medical staff is a promo code. It's Health Heroes, and you just need to make sure you bring your ID with you on the night.
Oh, you're like staff ID.
Your staff ID, and then you can just mosey on in for free and lord over everyone else.
That's lovely. That's such a lovely thing to do.
Well, they work so hard. I was just blown away by how much, you know, you've got to really like dealing with people in those situations.
Yeah, it's one thing dealing with, like, illness and doing the medical stuff, but it's all the stuff
you're
around
dealing with that. People at their worst as well.
Yeah.
So that's an extra layer of madness.
Yeah, 100%. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up, but you beat me to it, and we love to see that here on That's the Ticket. But I want to break for a song, and you brought a song to the show.
Yes.
So I was going to say reluctantly. You weren't reluctant, but you're kind of like, I don't really know. You can play this, and I've gone for Fernando from ABBA because we do love a bit of ABBA on That's the Ticket. Can I ask why?
Absolutely. So anyone who's got... a parent who speaks another language, Mediterranean. This is what my mum would play religiously when she was cleaning the house. But she's also one of those parents who would just she would repeat the word that she knew, and the only word she knew was Fernando. So the whole song would be Fernando, 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 Fernando.
Wow.
And it would be the whole song. So I thought it was a good way of kind of revisiting my trauma and maybe facing my fear.
Okay, because, how do you feel about the song then? Like, is
I know
gonna
the
be
chorus,
a,
that's for sure. It's just Fernando, apparently.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's mum owned Abba Gold.
Yeah, or Julio Iglesias was big in my house.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we connected when I started liking The Sun. Like, what's his name?
I don't...
Bailamos.
Bailamos. Yeah.
I was like, Mum, we have so much in common now. You like the dad, I like The Sun. Wow.
Yeah. My mum and I have that with Chapel Run. She really likes the song Pink Pony Club.
Yeah.
And that's it's kind of weird though, because we were at a family event. Mum was playing Pink Pony Club like on her phone to my brothers, and I'm like, wasn't expecting to walk into this, but we love to see it. But anyway, here is Fernando, and I guess we'll dedicate it to your mum, or dedicate it to all the mums.
Absolutely, all the mums.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando?
Oh, we love a bit of ABBA on That's the Ticket, don't we? Welcome back to That's the Ticket with me, your host, Hannah Mooney. And I've been covering a lot of ground in a very short amount of time with comedian and new friend to That's the Ticket, Sandra Pace.
Yeah, friendship goals.
It's quite strange. And you're probably used to this because, like, doing comedy, right, it's a lot of, like, yeah, one night only kind of energy. And with this podcast radio show, I meet a lot of people for the first time, and the longest conversation we will ever have is like the first in the same time that we've met each other for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's like this is the most amount of time that you and I have spent together, and we're having a jolly good chat that's being beamed out to everyone.
True.
And it's, yeah.
There's nothing else to go to. Like, I don't have to go on stage in a couple of minutes. Yeah. I don't have to drive 40 minutes for a 10-minute set.
Oh, you're speaking from experience.
Yeah, well, most comedians out there, like, please go out and see comedy, because your average comedian who's trying to promote themselves and you know, kind of going and making their name known, and starting out, you're going to, you know, some days on a Friday I'll drive to Tauranga to do a 10-minute set and then drive all the way back.
Oh, I was going to, what's the furthest you've travelled for a, I mean, we know you've gone to, like,
Southampton. In the UK.
Yeah, but you haven't gone from Hamilton to Southampton for a gig, right?
That's what we call leaning into, yeah. No, I think the furthest in New Zealand I've travelled to was Whanganui.
All right, yep.
Yeah, drove all the way back. That was a 6-minute set. So loved it.
Oh, gosh, 6 minutes.
Yeah, 6 minutes.
Crikey, okay. And so with this show that you've got coming up this weekend at Navara Lounge, You're Not Pretty But I Love You.
Yeah.
It's our long show. Is it just you? Do you have an opener?
No, it's just me.
Okay, do you need an opener? No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine?
Just to tell everyone, last drinks.
Yeah. Or I'll just, why did the chicken cross the road?
I know this one.
Okay.
It had chewing gum stuck to its foot.
That wasn't the punchline I was going to go.
Oh, there's so many.
I mean, I can tell you my first joke if you want.
Go for it. I'll tell you, I'm going to filter through the ones that I can tell you. You tell me yours.
All right. This was when I was about, like, 7 years old, family dinner. Why did the chicken cross the road?
I don't know. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Because it was a starfish. And then you say, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Hey!
That's my when I knew one. Comedy wasn't for me.
I think most of you guys will know this one. What is brown and sticky?
A stick?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, great.
Well done.
I'm not going to keep
going. Might wait till the next song so I can kind of vet check the joke I really want to say. Then you can tell me if it's good to go.
Okay, now everyone's imaginations are going wild. Okay, so no opener. It's just, you're just rushing.
I'm trying to break the mold, you know. A lot of comedy that I did my research, I did my due diligence.
Yeah.
And a lot of shows I used to see that have, like, headliners, and it'll be an hour show. They would have, like, supporting acts.
Yeah.
But if you're paying to see that one person,
yeah,
you want to make sure that you actually like the supporting acts as well. So it was a conscious decision for myself that I wanted to give people, if it's my show, it's my show.
Yeah.
And that's it. My plan is, because my mum has got a lot of attention from the shows, my plan is I'm gonna submit my show for New Zealand Comedy Fest next year.
Great.
And the aim will be that the last 15 minutes will be videoing into my mum for a Q&A, and it's an ask her anything kind of vibe. I'm really stressed about that concept, but I'm loving the idea of it. You can just ask her anything you like, as random, and knowing my mum, she will give you the most off the cuff, possibly inappropriate answer, and there will be significant disclaimers to cover my back.
Yeah, that's wild, because especially doing it at the end of the show, because by the end people will
have gotten to know her very well.
They will have gotten to know her, gone to know you a bit, and so can use that against you for sure. But
it's very stressful for me as a comedian, because, like, she's got the potential of being funnier than me, just from she will just say stuff very honestly. As with most parents, when they're not, you know, that older generation, they'll just open their mouths and they're very kind of like staunch in their beliefs of what they think is true and not true and right and not right. So there's potential for it to go very good and very not so good. I'm just going to put it in the hands of fate.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, I support you praying for you a little bit. No, yeah. It'll be sweet.
I think that's going to, it's probably going to help. And then obviously, I'll be telling the audience, you know, obviously, whatever you ask my mum, you're going to get the answer that you get, and that's just the way it is. And
yeah.
I don't know whether if anyone wants to kind of go onto my Instagram or my Facebook page, S-Pace Haha, you can have a little bit of a hint of what my mum is like, because I've got a clip there where I told her I was coming on the show, Hannah, and I asked her for some positive feedback, said, what would you tell people to come and see my show? So if you want an idea of what she's like, you can have a listen to that.
Yeah, I'll chuck it out with the podcast of this episode. So if you go to the That's the Ticket with Hannah Mooney Facebook page, you can re-listen to this chat, or you can find some links to stuff like tickets to Sandra's show, Sandra's socials. We can go meet Sandra's mum together, and it'll be a fun bonding experience for the whole team. And yeah, okay. And so with the Hamilton show, is this part of a greater tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, so where else is on the hit list?
So I've done Auckland already. I started in Auckland.
Okay.
Obviously, not to say that Auckland's like the best place, but it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was warming up the waters before I got to Hamilton, because Hamilton is the best place to
Hamilton's
start.
The
I hear
heart.
That. It yeah. is. It's the heart. Obviously, Auckland is the knees, and we always know that the knees give out first, the heart stays strong.
Yeah, relatable content.
I think I covered that well.
Yeah, you did well.
So I've done Auckland, Hamilton, and then once in the new year, I've actually got myself kind of like a semi-promoter. I'm not quite sure how confirmed that is.
Okay.
And the idea will be potentially on my own and with other comedians to do a tour around North South Islands, just promoting comedy and kind of sharing the aroha.
Yeah, okay, that sounds chill.
Yeah.
Busy times ahead, but no, that's really exciting though.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's kind of hard, I imagine, being a comedian, because you're just kind of bouncing from gig to gig.
There is that, and no matter what, comedy doesn't pay when you're starting out.
No.
So there will be an element of, you know, kind of...
Exposure dollars
and making sure that I'm still holding on to my day job. So I'm a primary school teacher by day, moonlight as a funny person by night.
Yeah.
And the idea will be that obviously when I need to dip into the whole... When I've got tired of eating out of baked bean cans, then I can... Go and make some money relieving the young minds of the future generation, and then I can carry on writing jokes.
It really is separate lives there, because, primary school teacher is very different to comedy, I can imagine.
And no.
As someone who's seen some of your comedy.
I've got to say, though, I've made a rule for myself. I'm not allowed to talk about my teaching, but there's so much...
Yeah.
So much material with young people.
Yeah.
And most of my lessons, I had one of my students come up to me the other day. They were like, oh, Faya, I knew you were funny, but I didn't realise you did it for a job. Oh, my gosh, you're actually really funny. I was like, okay, yeah, that's really nice to know.
Yeah, you
Can
should
you go
take,
back to class now, please.
You should take that, though, because if a young person tells me I'm funny, I'm like going to be riding that wave for like 2 years minimum.
Absolutely. But they'll crush you in the next breath, so
yeah,
you've got to 100%. Hold on to those wins when you get them.
Yeah, okay.
I came out with Slay the other day, and they were like, no, we don't say that anymore now. It's okay.
Oh, I've been dropping Slay all week.
I've been practicing Slay.
Okay, what do they say now?
I don't know, she wouldn't tell me.
Okay.
I have to hold on.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on till I'm worthy of that kind of knowledge.
It'll come. It'll come. But now something else is going to come to That's the Ticket, and I've got a break for a very important segment. It's time for Rick's pick. And
okay.
So how this works is I have an Uncle Rick. He is a great uncle.
Love Uncle Rick.
We do love Uncle Rick. And he's a great listener of radio, great listener of music. And when I started That's the Ticket 200 and something episodes ago, 230, congrats, you're 230. He was like, Hannah, I'm going to give you a list of songs that I like. And each week we can pick a song from the list and play Rick's pick. Every week we have. And then as That's the Ticket has, you know, gotten older, I've added, no one asked, but I added a kind of rule where I have to pick a song from the Rick's pick list that, like, matches who I'm talking to or what we're talking about. I actually haven't done that for you today.
Oh.
No, but here's the thing, is because it was actually Uncle Rick's birthday in the weekend.
Happy birthday, Uncle Rick.
I know. And so I've gone for a song that kind of reflects how it was Uncle Rick's birthday in the weekend. It's a song by XTC and it's called King for a Day.
Yes.
And, you know, if what's the point of Rick's pick if we don't shout out Uncle Rick on his day of birth? So happy birthday, and I hope you enjoy this one, Uncle Rick. That was this week's Rick's Pick. Nice XTC chat. King for a Day, dedicated to dear Uncle Rick because it was his birthday in the weekend. Welcome back to That's the Ticket. You've got me, Hannah Mooney, in conversation with comedian Sandra Pace. And my goodness, the off-air chat is
off the hook.
Is off the hook. We've managed to talk about like TV volume multiples, porridge, and... Yeah. A million
even numbers.
Other things, even numbers. It's all come out. But, like, to the task at hand, you've got a show coming up. You're Not Pretty, But I Love You, happening at Navarra Lounge on Saturday, the 12th of July, 8 p.m. show. More info and tickets are available now at Eventfinder. If you're driving, pull over and look that one up. And I guess I want to go back to, like, pulling this show together. So, like, how long have you been working on this one? Because, like, you mentioned that this is the first show that you've written, like, by yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I came off New Zealand Comedy Fest last year and then wrote it within I think about 3 months. A lot of the material I already knew because it's my life.
Yeah.
So a lot of it I already kind of like lived in, just like went back through the therapy files. I phoned my mum. A lot of it was phoning my mum and she went, do you remember that time when you said? And she was like, yes. Like most mums would say, I didn't say that. It was very inappropriate. My mum, like, yes, I remember that. So,
formally.
So we were able to kind of talk through a lot of stuff. And actually a lot of that, like on my poster, there's a little bit at the bottom where it says, the real show title is You're Not Pretty But I Love You, Chronicles of a Mountain Goat.
Okay, so we want to explain that.
So my mum is the mountain goat, and the premise being of the show is that in writing the show, I actually had to do a lot of talking with my mum and got a deeper appreciation of her upbringing and the stories that she had growing up and the way, basically understanding how it is she got to be the way she is, and then obviously in that way looking at myself and how I became how I am. And yeah, it was been a real kind of circular, beautiful kind of way of writing a comedy show, but also kind of inadvertently understanding your parent not as a mother but as a human being and multifaceted, and just kind of got to know my mum really deeply and understand a lot more of her, what I believe was just crazy. Actually makes a lot more sense now. So a lot of the show is about unpacking my mum, the person, my culture, and how those things originated, and yeah, just kind of growing up in those cultures that don't really mix well, and the kind of beautiful, funny, natural moments that happen from it. Anyone with family who is who grows up in a different country but has a culture from somewhere else will probably identify, and it will resonate to them, the different kind of lifestyles and stories that come, that get pulled out of that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Oh, I mean, we love to see the kind of character development that you went through building this one. And I guess, you know, once you've put the show together, what does the testing process look like?
So I've actually, any comedian worth their salt wouldn't necessarily, normally what they do is they go to an open mic, they test out some of the jokes. I decided not to do that.
Okay, I'm kind of obsessed with that.
Yeah, because obviously I have my principles.
Yeah.
I trusted the process well enough to go, well, I want my first show to be as authentic as possible, and I want people who are paying to see the show for the first time to actually get a first experience. So all the jokes you hear in my show are fresh jokes that have never made it onto an open mic stage. No one else has heard them, not even in draft. And I know they're good because I sold out in Auckland, people.
Yeah, and
I've done two shows in Auckland already. I did one in Takaofuta, and that all sold out. So I have kind of, it's been a risk, but it's a risk I'm really proud that's paying off, because that's kind of where I wanted to go with the show, is I want people to come and see it. And much like when you go and see a Netflix special, you know that everything you're seeing is for the first time and just new, and I think that's important, that when people are coming to see fresh comedy, it is fresh. So that's the risk I took, and it's very, very kind of, not everyone does it. People will often kind of test out jokes during open mics and put it together. I just didn't want that for me. It can backfire, and as I do the show more and more, it does organically develop, and I'll add things in and move stuff out. But the premise is always the same. You will never hear a joke that I've done before unless you've seen my show before.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
I kind of have respect for that. It seems quite nerve-wracking. Like that first show, first Auckland show.
Yeah, like I was like, a lot of it is my first show. I know I've got something good.
Yeah.
I know it's funny. Because I laugh, just in my own room, laughing at myself. But you know, like, you've got to have a extreme confidence about what your capabilities are. So it was really nice to kind of have a really positive response, and everyone loved it. And just to go, okay, so actually, trusting my own judgment is okay on this one.
Yeah, well, I feel like because, you know, this is an arts show and I get a lot of artists in and we talk about creative process and stuff like that. And what I always like to say, because I'm the host of the podcast, I'm an authority on this matter. Not at all. Not an actor. Just get to talk to heaps of actors, comedians, musicians and the like. But a kind of philosophy I have in my own life is like, if you don't back yourself, how can you expect anyone else to back you?
Yeah.
And I feel like you're living that, bro.
Yeah.
You're exemplifying it.
Well, I think it's important for the arts.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, I suppose I recognise that the risk for me is minimal, because if I'm writing about what I know and I'm confident that it's got something, if someone else doesn't pick up on them, that's all right. That's just their truth.
Mm.
That doesn't define, that's just one person's view. That doesn't define everyone. I can listen to the feedback. Obviously, if 90% of the room, it's not their vibe, then I need to kind of look at me.
Yeah.
Need to internalise that. But so far, because the subject matter is about family, and everyone's got family, everyone's got, you know, that one family member who's a little bit weird, everyone's got mums that are a bit kind of like crazy, or maybe they're not, maybe it's someone else. So having a topic that's quite relatable, that everyone can pull stuff from, regardless of whether you've got a Portuguese culture or not, everyone's got family that they grew up with, and there's the bits in my show that connect with all those different types of kind of relationships growing up, like your friends' school, how they're different compared to you. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happened to me growing up where I was fighting my Portuguese culture and trying to grab onto this Western London culture, and then obviously coming to New Zealand as well. So it's very relatable for a lot of the people who are coming to my shows, and a lot of them will see similarities. And that, for comedy, I think, is a real connective tissue for everyone. So it's very hard not to find humour and stuff that you relate to.
Yeah. And there is something so nice about coming together, sitting in a room, kind of in the dark, laughing with someone, at someone, and then, you enter strangers, exit as friends, because you've all kind of shared this unique experience.
And you've been given that kind of right to laugh. Because I'm a lot of the stuff I talk about is quite embarrassing stuff that's happened to me, but you get given ownership.
Yeah.
And then in that response, you also, as someone viewing the comedy, go, oh my gosh, that happened to so-and-so. And, oh yeah, I think something similar happened to me, and I can so understand how that feels.
Yeah.
And it's just that lighthearted viewpoint on life and family and growing up and what it feels like to be a teen and all those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, if you're not sold, team, what are you doing? No. But, as we've mentioned, You're Not Pretty But I Love You, featuring Sandra, who you've been listening to for the last 45 minutes, is coming to Navara Lounge on Saturday, 12th of July, 8 p.m. show. More info and tickets at Event Finder. I might just quickly jump into my other segment where I plug other upcoming events, if you don't mind. Yeah.
No, I'm totally mine. No, I joke.
Well, I did yours first, so come on.
Yeah.
But elsewhere around Kirikiriroa, the Toxic Avenger is running at the Meteor Theatre until the 12th of July with 7:30 p.m. shows and a 2 p.m. matinee on the 12th of July as well. More info and tickets are available now at themeteor.co.nz. Down at Reveille Theatre, The Mysterious Disappearance is running right now until the 12th of July. Shows are at 7:30 p.m. and you can find out more and tickets at iticket.co.nz. Over at Clarence Street Theatre, they've got 10cc Ultimate Greatest Hits Tour in on the 13th of July. More info on tickets at ticketek.co.nz. And the Just Kidding Women's Comedy Show is on at Patrons on the 24th of July. More info on tickets at eventfinder.co.nz. As I always like to say, I'm not the definitive guide of everything happening in Hamilton, because there's always so much on. But if you like a comedian, if you like a venue, give them a like. Give Sandra Pace a cheeky follow on Instagram and Facebook. And just before we wrap things up, was there anything else you wanted to plug? I know you talked about how you've got some more show stops coming up later. Is there anything else you wanted to plug?
I can't really really kind of talk about that because dates haven't been confirmed.
Oh, we love
but
it.
But yeah, just jump onto my socials, guys, and please, please, please support local comedy.
Like 100%.
You know, the great thing is you've got these wonderful kind of resources on your doorstep. And I'm an up-and-coming comedian. This is my first show, so... And I'm very, very funny. I'm pretty good, so... While the ticket prices are nice and cheap, I would recommend getting them in early because Next Step is Netflix special and it gets a bit pricey after that. So
you have to come back on the Amsterdam ticket. If you book a Netflix special, you'll be too big time, but you have to come back.
I will make it official here. If I make it to Netflix, I will be on take the ticket straight away.
All right, great. And I've got one last question for you. And so you've been here on TTT giving me the tea, the inside scoop. And so my last question for you is... How do you take your tea? Like, if you're going to have a cup of tea.
So you're talking to someone who grew up in London.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You put the tea bag in the hot water first.
Yes.
You take the tea bag out, and then you pour your milk.
Yeah.
That order.
Yep.
These charlatans that live in the world today, you add the milk first and then the tea bag. I ain't got time for you, okay?
How do you feel about if the milk is added when the bag is still in there?
Acceptable, but then you're gonna distort how much of a seep that brew has got in it.
Okay.
If you overfill the milk, you can always go back in with the tea bag to add more strength.
Yeah, I would never put milk in first for a cup of tea because you don't know how it's going to go.
There's some weird people out there.
I can do it with coffee because I used to be firmly against it with instant coffee, but then...
I am milk first with coffee.
Yeah, because someone told me that if it means, like, because it was at work, I've got one of those zip, like, the water's really hot, and they're like, it'll burn the coffee, so you put the milk in.
Also, I like the idea of maybe the coffee infusing with the milk and having that relationship first.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, and then the hot water... Like coming in and like destroying any, you know.
This question always takes.
It does. But
how do you actually take your tea? Like, are we milk with one? Like, what's the situation?
Just milk.
Just milk?
Just milk, yeah.
Do you have a specific tea bag that we're hitting?
Chanui.
Okay.
Am I allowed to put brands out there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Rhymes with Hanui.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you want some vocab, a builder's tea in the UK is milk, two sugars.
Okay.
So if you ever want milk with two sugars and you want to appear cool, you just ask for a builder's tea. And if they don't know what it is, then you can educate them and you appear even more cool.
Yeah, okay. I'm definitely going to take that with me in my life. But now I'm going to play us out with a song. It's a Hannah pick. And it's me doing that thing where I try and pick a song that relates to what we're talking about. And because the name of your show is You're Not Pretty But I Love You, I've gone for a Beyonce track called Pretty Hurts. It felt like appropriate, right?
Yeah.
But thanks for coming on and having a chat.
Thank you so much.
It's all good. It's a pleasure to hang out.
I think we're amazing people. I really do. I think we're so funny.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mum.
Thanks, Mum. Thanks, Mum. Yeah, thanks for making me.
Yeah, shout out. And, break all the legs with the show. And to my lovely listeners, you can bet that I'll be back soon with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, here's Pretty Hurts. Matiwa team.
Ms. Third Ward, your first question. What is your aspiration in life?
Oh. My aspiration in life would be to be happy.
Yeah. no shelter from the sun and the rain or the storm.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.